This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. It is so very good to be with you today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday right here on this same station at this same time, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. You know, every once in a while, however, what we like to do here on the air is to dip into the calls that have been left for us on our listener comment line, and that's what we're going to be doing today. So we're not going to be taking your phone calls today, but, you know, when we're for you, there, and we want to hear from you. And I always do want to hear from you, and our listener comment line is one terrific way in which that can happen. So I invite you to use this. It's available for you there 24/7. If you say it's for Women of Grace, or you say it's for Johnette Williams, or you name another host in another program, that host and that program will certainly get those questions and will be able to address it. So here is the number for you to use. It is country code 1-205-795-5773. Again, that's country code 1-205-795-5773. We love hearing from you. I also love receiving your emails, and it's very simple to email me. It's Women of Grace, same as the show, but simply Women of Grace, all one word on the Women of Grace, that's one word, and plural on the women, Women of Grace at EWTN.com. That's Women of Grace at EWTN.com. I will get your emails and we will discuss the question or the issue that you are bringing up by way of it. It's always a delight and a pleasure to invite you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We always have excellent, excellent things available for you. They're really good resources. And in addition to that, it gives you an update on the various events that are coming up that I will be at or that Women of Grace is hosting. And we've got varieties of those, from retreat days that are being given to conference talks that are being given to our studies that are being offered online. So we invite you to check out our homepage often. Use, of course, the navigational bar to direct you to what it is that you're looking for specifically, and take advantage of it. So if you're looking for study information, you'd simply click on study information. You'll see that in the nav bar there. If you want to know where we're going to be or what we're doing, events is going to tell you that. If you want more information about our Benedicta Institute for Women and how it is that you can earn a certification in Catholic women's leadership, I invite you to check that out. If you want to watch our television programs, or if you want to re-listen to a broadcast on that we've done on radio here, or if you missed the program, all of that is available for you right there at our website, womenofgrace.com. And did you know that we have got a fabulous store available for you too, with a whole lot of logo merch, as well as great books and studies and various kinds of things that will help you to grow in your life of faith and will help you to share your faith with others. So we invite you to check all of that out at our website. And one of the really nice features, I like to mention this from time to time, especially, you know, as we move through and journey through life, we have various needs that crop up. And did you know that you can have a holy mass offered for your need? Did you know that? Oftentimes we think that to have a mass offered for a special intention only involves those who are deceased. We want to pray for the repose of their soul. But that's not just the only time that we can have a mass celebrated for us. We can have a mass celebrated for us for a very special need, perhaps a surgery that's coming up, or a particular issue that we're facing in our lives, or maybe we are also making a big decision and we would like to have some additional graces available to us to make that decision. Those are all very, very bona fide good reasons to have a mass offered for you, and we make it so easy breezy for you. If you go to our website, you're going to see right on the homepage a little button, so to speak, that's over on the right hand side of the page there that says need a mass. You click on that, it's going to take you out to a landing page. It'll tell you exactly how it is that you can have have a Mass celebrated for whatever your intention is, or for the repose of the soul of someone. We have a beautiful partnership with the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda, and through the Archdiocese there, our Masses are being celebrated by the priests of that particular archdiocese, who really do rely upon Mass stipends for their income, for them to be able to purchase the items that they need personally, but also for their churches, also for their ministry to those individuals that live further out into the bush. So all of that being said, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a corporal work of mercy in that regard, also a spiritual work of mercy if you're having the Mass celebrated for someone, whether that person is deceased or whether that person has a special need. You can also have a novena of Masses celebrated. I especially like those, and oftentimes, you know, I will have a novena of Masses celebrated for somebody that I know is going through a very difficult time, or if someone has passed and we really want to have some extra prayer power for that soul and for that family. So those are beautiful, beautiful ways in which we share the beautiful life of our Lord Jesus Christ through his mystical body. That's the beautiful way in which we pray for each other. So I do want to encourage you simply to get out to our website to take a look at what we have there, and to take a look at what we have going on and some of the upcoming studies. If you haven't participated in a Women of Grace study, let me extend an invitation to you. You know, it's really such a marvelous way for you to grow in your faith, ladies, and for you to understand, you know, just how special you are as the daughter of the Most High God. You know, you are his unrepeatable daughter. And as we come into a fuller recognition of that and a fuller acknowledgement of that in our lives, well, things begin to happen interiorly for us, but I must say also exteriorly. So I want to encourage you to dig deeply into this reality of your feminine genius, and we want to help you to do that by way of the various studies that we offer, as well as the numbers of events that we put on, all of which is helping us to live that abundant life and to share that abundant life with others. All that available for you at womenofgrace.com. That's the website address. Again, pretty easy breezy. Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, right? Women of Grace. .com. And again, the way to reach me, though, is womenofgrace@ewtn.com. So here we are. We're on this beautiful day that the Lord has made, and I do hope that you are rejoicing and being glad in it, because God wants for you to rejoice. Yes, he does. There's such a beautiful reality that goes along with rejoicing. And when we open our hearts and our minds to our Lord Jesus Christ, why, I'll tell you, everything around us looks better. You know, it really does. Even those chores that we have to do, they're sort of a facility to get them done, perhaps more quickly, maybe even better, you know, because we are praising the Lord, thanking him, and that opens our heart to receive the blessings that he wants for us to have. And as I tell you, you are such a blessing to me in my life and such a blessing to all of our other listeners. And I always invite you to interact with us. Today, however, we're not taking your calls. We are going to dip into some of the calls that have been left for us on our listener comment line. Once again, that number available to you 24/7 is country code 1-205-795-5773. That again is country code 1-205-795-5773. It is always available for you. And so, of course, is that email address, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We're going to a break. We're coming right back. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, we're going to dip into that mailbag or that listener call-in number line and see who's there for us. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. Very happy to be with you. It's a listener comment line day here on Women of Grace Live, and that means we're not taking your questions via call-in or via our social media today. But I do want to encourage you to use that call-in line, because we do have days like this when we dip into those calls that have been left for us, and it's a lovely way for us to get more deeply into the questions that have been asked. So I invite you to use that number and let me give it to you. It is country code 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. That's the number for you to use. In addition to that, you can always email your questions to us. We receive them that way too. Simply email me this way, Women of Grace, all one word, Women of Grace, plural on the women, Women of Grace at EWTN.com. Women of Grace at EWTN.com. I will get your questions or your comments. We will address them on a day like today. Now, I know Vanessa has a stack of questions for me, so we should really get to it. Vanessa, who's up first here?
My name is Kathy Venata, and I was curious. I didn't hear Johnette make a comment about the Pope's recent or the Dicasteries message about the Blessed Mother, which is quite upsetting, and I don't recall hearing her talk about it on the radio. I'm interested to know what her thoughts are. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for calling in about this topic. And I know that it's an upsetting topic for so many. You know, I love our Blessed Mother, and we well know that. You know, she is just everything to me in terms of her maternal beatitude. And I have recourse to her each and every morning. I pray a consecration to Jesus through Mary, my Louis de Montfort consecration prayer, every single morning. It's the first thing that I strive to do. So very, very important. And I know that a lot of individuals are concerned about this, and I have my concerns about it too. So let's just get into it and talk about this a little bit. You know, and I think it's important for us to just take a look at church history, and it's important for us to have some understanding about why it is that the church sometimes makes statements like this. So first of all, the title co-redemptrix, and I should specify here at the outset that this is not an official title of the Blessed Virgin Mary. When I say title, I mean a name, right? It's a name, but it's not an official name. And that's the very first thing that I want to mention. I know that there's some confusion about that. And I even had a family member that called me and was quite upset that they're taking away a title of Our Lady. This is not a title of Our Lady. It's really a specification of a function of our Blessed Mother. And, you know, we never want to reduce anybody to a function. But we all have roles, R-O-L-E-S, to play in our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in light of that, the term co-redemptrix is a reference to that which our Blessed Mother participated in. So let's just begin by saying it's not an official title of our Blessed Lady. It never was an official title. I do think that there were efforts afoot at various times historically within the church to make it a title, but that was never done. So it was not a title. It's not something being taken away from Our Lady. It's not the meaning of what co-redemptrix is that is being excised from our Blessed Mother, nor from her important role, R-O-L-E, in salvation history. Knowing that, however, many of us have used that term for many years. Not just us, but this term certainly does predate this generation of people, this time in history. This is an old term. It's an ancient term. It crops up here and there and everywhere. Some of the great saints have used this term. And so it's become part of the nomenclature in reference to Our Lady. And that's been a beautiful thing. It does have to be rightly understood, however, and this is where the rub comes in. This is where the problem is. We know that oftentimes, due to perhaps poor catechesis, oftentimes because people really don't know their faith well, sometimes because we don't bother to really try to investigate certain aspects of our faith, there's a certain kind of an ignorance. And so we hear a term like this, and we automatically misapply it, and we automatically jump to a conclusion that we ought not to jump to. So with regard to this term, you know, co-redemptrix. Now, the idea, this little prefix, co, we understand it. Those individuals who understand this term in its fullest sense know that this in no way is equating our Blessed Mother with our Lord. She is not the female Redeemer. There's a lot of people, however, that sort of think that's what's true. There's a lot of people that overemphasize Mary's role. Mary's role was specific, necessary, absolute, and singular. No one else would ever fill that role like our Blessed Lady. And it was a very important role, and it will always be a very important role, no matter what we call it or don't call it. It's a fact. It's a salvific fact, if I can make that term up. I'm not quite so sure that exists, but it's a salvific fact, meaning that in relation to the salvation of mankind, in relation to the salvific action of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother played the primary role next to him. Okay? She didn't play his role. She's not taking anything away from our Lord, but she played the primary role in the salvation of the world alongside of Jesus, right? Now, let's think about that for a moment, because this is an important thing to understand. The apostles played a role in the salvation of the world by way of evangelization. You are called to play a role in the salvation of mankind by way of proclamation of the gospel and by way in which you live your life. I am called to that as well, in the ways in which the Lord makes available to me. Each and every one of us as baptized Christians are called to play a role in salvation history. Not because we're taking anything away or usurping anything that is specific to our Lord Jesus Christ, but because we're participating in the action of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a beautiful name for that, that's referred to frequently in spiritual writing. It's called a secondary instrument. And I have spoken a lot about secondary instruments here on the air, encouraging all of us to be who it is that we're called to be. And who are we called to be? We're called to be a secondary instrument. We are called to be a conduit of the divine life. We are called to be a means, a channel of grace in the lives of others. And that's the case with our Blessed Mother. This is one of the aspects in which Our Lady plays a very serious and very real and very primary role in her Son's salvific action. So he's the Savior, but she plays a very important role. And of course, her important role is multifaceted. And one of the ways is that she is a secondary instrument. Our Blessed Mother, is the Queen of all saints. It's one of her titles. She's the Queen of Apostles. Our Blessed Mother, because of her singular grace, because she is the only one in history to conceive the God-man by way of the Holy Spirit, she holds a special place in the intercession that comes by way of a secondary instrument. If we could say this, we could say that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the secondary instrument, right? She is the quintessential secondary instrument. And so she plays a chief role in that way in the salvation of the world. She did in time when she walked this earth, but she also does from all eternity, as we as Catholics attest to. So in that way, Mary plays a role in the salvation of the world. But she is playing a role in the salvation of the world in other ways as well, and has. And so how is that? Well, I mentioned a moment ago about this singular grace, and that singular grace is the Immaculate Conception. God chose Mary from all eternity. From every woman who would ever have life on the face of the earth, God chose her. She was not just some, selection by God that didn't have forethought. It wasn't just because God said, oh, gee, now it's time. My Son has got to come on the earth and save the world, and I'm just going to look for some woman that seems to measure up pretty well. No, 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 no. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our Blessed Mother from all eternity existed in the mind of God, just like you existed in the mind of God from all eternity. Each and every person who has ever had life on the face of the earth was an idea, a thought, an intention in the mind of God from all eternity. And I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. I mean, I sit back sometimes and think about that, and I just can't even get over the fact that from all eternity, God knew me, right? And God had a special role, a special plan, a special mission for me, just like he does for every single one of you. And we know that from sacred scripture. You know that from one of my very favorite verses that comes from Ephesians 1, verse 4. You know, God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be full of love. You know, those first few words there tell us exactly who we are. We're the chosen son, chosen daughter of the Most High God. God chose us. We could have been a surprise to our parents, but we were not a surprise to God. He intended for us to have life and to come at precisely the moment in time when he wanted us to have life, because he had a mission in mind for us. He chose us in him before the world began, and that before the world began is the nod to from all eternity, right? What an amazing thing. And God planned for you, and he planned for the Blessed Mother. But because the Blessed Mother was going to be the one whom he intended from all eternity to be the vessel through whom the Word would be made flesh to dwell among us, he specified everything toward that end. And he specified everything towards that end for you and me, too. But for our Blessed Lady, His eye was upon her from all eternity to play this very, very primary role in the coming forth of the Son of God. And so in that way, you know, Mary's yes, her fiat brings salvation to the world. Isn't that an interesting thing? It is her yes that becomes fecundated by the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about that once, and we can't even begin to imagine, her fiat opened up the pathway for the Holy Spirit to enter her womb and impress himself upon her. Golly gee whizzikers. I mean, truly, what a mystery. What a grace. What an amazing reality. You can only begin to imagine how pure she had to be able to take within the confines of her body made of dust the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And you know, here's the thing. She you know, this was a theophany. You know, that moment of annunciation was a theophany. You know, a theophany is when the Trinitarian life, you know, happens, right? When there's more than an expression, when the Trinitarian life manifests itself in time in some way. We have theophanies that are talked about in sacred scripture. One key one is the transfiguration of our Lord on Mount Tabor. There's one, right? That's a theophany. There's a theophany at his baptism that precedes that event, right? That comes before that event, right? You know, John the Baptist, pours the water on our Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon him. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word made flesh. So you've got the second person of the Blessed Trinity in flesh. You've got the Holy Spirit, and Father God speaks, right? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, right? And so for our Blessed Mother, it too is a theophany. Because the Holy Spirit comes down, the Word is made flesh, and God the Father is there. Where one member of the Trinity is, the other is. But when there is a manifestation of that, it is called a theophany. And clearly, it is a theophany in that moment for Our Lady, which is an incredible reality in and of itself. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that our Blessed Mother played a key role in the bringing of salvation into the world. Without her fiat, Jesus would not have come. Can you imagine the trust of God that he placed in this woman? Gee whizzikers. And I say woman with a capital W because she is the woman. Like, you know, she is the primary or the secondary instrument, right? It's just an incredible thought. But there's more because there's always more with Our Lady and her Son. Our Blessed Mother also participates in his passion. She is there as his, and this is a phrase I love to use, azir kinegdo. That word, azir kinegdo, is used a couple of times in sacred scripture. But anytime it is used, it means battle buddy. She is there at his side. She accompanies him. She accompanies him throughout his life. She is there with her son. She is always in union with her son. You know, now I don't know if Mary journeyed every place that Jesus went. I know that she did in some cases, specific cases, when the apostles, the evangelists saw fit to call attention to her for some reason, you know. But there's nothing in sacred scripture that precludes the fact that she could have traveled with Jesus everywhere that he went. There's nothing that suggests that she didn't. But there are times that we know she did for sure. And if Our Lady didn't accompany him throughout the course of his public ministry, then she most definitely was united with him in prayer. And let me say this, a prayer that we can't even begin to apprehend, because our Blessed Mother was pure, no stain of sin, no self motivation or intention. She was pure, 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 pure. So I can only begin to imagine what her prayer must be like. And here's a good thing to do in your time of prayer. Ask our Blessed Mother to take you up into her prayer. You know, she is before, you know, she is in heaven. She's before God. She's praising God. She's praising God more purely than anybody could possibly praise God, right? She carries all that beatitude with her to heaven. And so when she's united in prayer, her prayer is beyond anything that we can imagine, beyond anything that we can imagine. But imagine we do, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to broaden our capacity to begin to even get a sense of it, a taste of it, an aroma of it within the confines of our spirit to lift us up. You know? Well, anyway, you hear that music. I'm not done with this question yet. Like I said, on these days, it allows us to get into them pretty deeply. But we're going to come back and we're going to pick up where we left off. And, you know, I'm just hoping that I'm giving you some insight into this beautiful reality of Our Lady. But there's more to come. We're going to come right back after the break. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. This is one of those dip into the caller's messages days. Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you today. And I am inviting you to leave a question for us on our listener comment line, because on days like today, we dip into that listener comment line and we answer the questions that have been left for us. Now, that number is available to you 24/7. And here it is. It's country code 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. Another way in which you can do that is by sending us an email, and we will take your email on a day like today as well. The email, of course, is always available to you too. It's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. So we're answering a question for Kathy about the title Co-Redemptrix and Our Blessed Lady, and she wanted to know what I thought about it. And I find myself, involved with this, the answer to this question, because this is a very deep issue, and it's not something that can be answered in a pithy way, and it certainly doesn't really merit a pithy answer. It merits an answer that is well thought out, so that we can get to a deeper understanding and appreciation of who Our Lady is and the role that she plays in salvation history. And I began to answer that question for Kathy by saying that it's important to know that the term co-redemptrix is not an official title of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, I have heard even a family member called and said, you know, how can they take a title away from Our Lady? Well, there's not a title that was taken away. This is a term that is being questioned, really, and there's been some restrictions placed on that term. So we're talking, however, about the greater reality, and we're talking about, you know, what does that term point to? You know, words, you know, are symbols for a thought. Words are symbols for an intention. So what was the intention of this phrase, co-redemptrix, in the way in which it's come down to us throughout, various times within the church? And I was talking about the fact that though the term has come into question, what is not in question is the authentic role that our Blessed Mother played in salvation history. And please note the use of the term authentic. That's intentional. The authentic role, because that's what people get confused about. Sometimes they give Mary too much, of a role, almost one that rivals, if not is the same as her son's. And sometimes we give her too little of a role. But Mary's role is unparalleled. And as I said earlier, she is the secondary instrument. She's the quintessential secondary instrument of God. She was chosen by God from all eternity for the role that she would play in salvation history. She was intentioned by God. She was created specifically by God for this role and created so that she could carry out this role, even to the point of her Immaculate Conception, so that no stain of sin would touch her. And by the fact that she was not scathed by original sin, she was confirmed in grace and she was able to be sinless throughout her life. And that's quite a beautiful thing, but she had to be that way. She had to be a pure vessel for the Holy of Holies to come into her womb. I mean, just think about that for a second, and compare that to, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. All of that really is a prefigurement of our Blessed Lady. So that being said, I also said that it was through Mary's fiat. It was through Mary's gift of self, her total self-donation through that fiat, that fiat mihi, be it done unto me, that it opened the gateway to her womb for the Holy Spirit. You know, God was asking permission when the angel came. You have found favor with God, right? But God wasn't forcing the answer on her, because our God does not do that. We have free will, and Mary had free will. She could have said yes. She could have said no. And her no would have been just as pure as her yes. Why? Because there wouldn't have been any self-motivation in it. You know, we can't understand that, because we really don't have a grasp on purity in that sense, because this is the purest of the pure. I mean, you know, only God is all holy, but Mary reflects and is filled with his holiness in a way that no other creature is. So she participates in the God life, and the God life participates in her in a way that is singular to her. We can only guess at that. But as I said earlier, Our Lady will share, she will share her maternal beatitudes with us if we ask her to do so, right? I like to tuck my fiats into Mary's fiats. And I say, Mother, tuck my fiat into your fiat and take it to the Father. Because in some way, there is something beautiful that transpires in the weakness of my fiat. Her strength comes. Anyway, to move on. And then I was telling you that in addition to all of that, our Blessed Mother was at Jesus' side throughout his life. She was at his side. And, you know, that's a really beautiful thing if you think about it. Because Mary, Church tells us, is the new Eve and Jesus is the new Adam. And we know that the Church was born from Mary's side. The new Eve, you know, and Mary is the type of the Church, you know. And I guess you could say the Church is a type of Mary, but the type usually precedes. So Mary is a type of the Church. And that, you know, and so, you know, Mary is truly the bride of God, you know. She is the bride of Christ in that sense. So when we say that Mary was at Jesus' side, you know, there's even something beautiful to contemplate about that reality, that she was always there as his Zir Kenegdo, always with him, supporting him in his endeavor. And you see, that is the true meaning of co-redemptrix, that she was at his side, supporting him in his mission. And when I say supporting him, I don't mean financially, right? And I don't necessarily mean bolstering him up in some way by terms of you would support, you know, a beam in a house or something. Although in a certain way, she certainly did that spiritually throughout the course of his public ministry, but seen most specifically in his passion. Our Lady sojourned with her son. She was there. And we know, any mother knows how deeply she aches for her child, when there is a worry, a concern, whether her child has been injured or is about to be crucified. That mother feels that pain in a way that only a mother can feel the pain of her child. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. We mothers, and I'm speaking specifically to women here, we mothers feel a pain that is dulled by the fact that we are not preserved from the stain of original sin, and that we are all complicit in sin that we have committed, and that our love really is not pure, because our love is to some extent, and we strive to get rid of all of this dross in our being. That's what the spiritual life is about. But the fact is that our motivations, our selfishness, our own intentions, our own wants, our own desires will interfere with how deeply we can feel the pain of one of our children, even though it's so intense. But our Blessed Mother, no, there was none of that dross in her spirit, none. She felt that pain of her son mystically, every pain she felt mystically. And in that way, joining her suffering to the suffering of her son, she participated in his salvific action. And here's a little note to you and to me, that any time, this is what it means to truly offer it up, you know, any time that we take the pain that we're feeling, whether it's emotional pain, psychological pain, or physical pain, you know, whether it's spiritual pain, those moments of dryness in prayer, when we offer that as an oblation to God in union with Christ, we become a participator in his salvific action. As a matter of fact, in that way, we actually console our suffering Lord, because his act is outside of time and space. And God saw the offering that you would make in time and applied it to the benefit of his son on the cross. I mean, this is heady stuff. I mean, this is the mystical reality of our life of faith. So it's an incredible thing. But nobody did that like Our Lady. So because she felt her son's pain in a way that none of us will ever experience, because she was, in a sense, being crucified with him in a mystical sense, she becomes a co-redeemer with Christ. And let me just say this, that term co-redeemer is one that was not talked about in reference to this whole business here. You and I are called to be co-redeemers in Christ Jesus. And I do believe, and I'd have to do a search on this. Maybe some of you can find this out faster than me once you're off the air. But I do believe that even that term is actually even used. Well, it's certainly used in the writing of the Church Fathers. But I think that it is also used in our catechism. So what is a redemptrix? What is a redemptrix? And this is the proper understanding of this term. A redemptrix is really simply just the feminization of redeemer. You know, it's the feminization of it. It's making it pertinent to a female person. So when we look at that term in that light, that's exactly the proclamation of what that term is meant to give us, to reveal, to say to the faithful. That's what it means. Now, the problem is this. The problem is that, as I said also at the beginning of this, you know, monologue on this topic, people are poorly catechized. They're ignorant of their faith. They don't dig into it. Oftentimes, they're not opening themselves up to deeper prayer, through which we understand these truths of the faith a little bit better. You know, we'll never understand them in their full, because they're a mystery. But God takes us into the mystery by way of our prayer. So my point being that for those that are uncatechized, nominal Catholics, or for those that just haven't had the opportunity to really study the faith well, and certainly to those who are outside of the Catholic faith, this term is confusing. You know, it can be. Because that prefix co, not only does it mean to be like alongside of, but it can also mean that you're doing it as the person is doing it. In by that as, I mean in the same way, to the same end. So Mary could not have redeemed the world. She can participate in a very singular way, the highest way, in the salvific action of her son. But in no way does that come close to the salvific action of our Lord. In no way does it measure up to that standard. It's not possible. So when individuals think that it means that, it's a problem. And, you know, so are we thrilled with the Dicastery's decision here? Well, you know, personally, I'm not thrilled with it. Can it be understood, however? Yes. And that's what we have to ask for, is that our own minds would be clarified on this issue. Did the Vatican take away and change, you know, its perspective of that singularity of Mary's role in salvation history? No. It's simply saying that to modern ears, to contemporary ears, this is a confusing term. Now, I will say this. The question comes up, and this is a very legitimate question. So for every word that we use to describe a truth of our faith or an understanding of our faith or, some aspect of our faith, if people don't understand it and they get confused by it, should we change it? Well, I mean, I don't think that that's a possibility. I don't, because people don't understand the word Eucharist. People don't understand, what Holy Communion is. There are many words, that we have that are words that, we wouldn't have a true concept of because of the same reasons, ignorance and, lack of formation and, all of those things, not spending time with the Lord in prayer. So, it's not possible. You can't go through and scrub, church language because people don't understand it. What is necessary is more catechesis. What is necessary is a greater thirst and hunger among the lay faithful to learn the faith. And if we don't understand something, to take the time to research it and to look it up. To spend time reading what the saints say about such things. What does Scripture say about such things? What are the teachings of the church regarding such things? So that's what I would have rather seen here instead of just taking a word out. But we don't want to think for a minute that it changed anything with regard to what that term in its properly understood definition means. And one last word on this. For those people that are outside of the faith, it is especially difficult, because the fact of the matter is the majority, with the exception of certain segments of the Lutheran population, certain segments of the Anglican and Episcopalian religions, maybe even Methodist to some extent, but I'm not sure how much, they don't even understand our Blessed Mother. They don't have any devotion to her in the sense of other than, that's how Jesus got to the world. As if she is like some kind of incubator for Jesus. And I've even heard that phrase coming from John Martinoni, who we do programming with. And he's heard that phrase and he shared about how appalled he was. And I was appalled when he shared it with me that someone would say such a thing about our mother. But when there's no appreciation for Our Lady, to try to explain this can be very, very difficult. So, that is what the problem is. So, it doesn't mean equal to, it simply means with. But if it's confusing, the Vatican felt it's better to use something different. When we talk about this whole idea of even being a co-redeemer, it's not an equal thing. we participate in the one action of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know how else to better state it. It's just a little, it's a hardship. So I can tell you what you can do, Kathy, to wrap this up. I can tell you what you can do. You can take the displeasure that you feel and the sadness of heart that you feel, because it is a real sadness of heart. I feel that sadness of heart too. You can take that and you can offer that up in union with the sufferings of Christ for the misunderstandings that people have regarding him, regarding his mother, regarding the mysteries of faith. And I'll tell you what, that'll go a long way to bringing peace to your heart, and maybe even doing more for you than that, maybe even bringing you a special grace. So I know that was a long answer, but you know, this was a very involved question. I'm going to look that business up about, you know, co-redeemer. I'm going to see if it's in sacred scripture. And we're going to see. One last thing. I said one last thing once before, but now I really mean it. This is not the first action or the first statement that's been made by the Vatican. It's been made for many, many years by different Holy Fathers. So there you have it. So I hope that helps you, Kathy. All right. Let's go ahead, Vanessa. Do we have time for another call?
My husband is being sole caregiver to my disabled son and also me. And I would like to know, how do I stay holy if I can't make it, or my son can't make it, to Holy Mass? My husband is a extraordinary minister, so we receive communion, we watch the Mass, and we definitely want to grow stronger in our faith.
Oh, sweetheart. I first of all, thank you for this beautiful question. And it truly is a beautiful question. And why is that? Because it expresses your longing for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and to be present for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful disposition of heart. It shows how much you understand what is taking place through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But here it is, and God has seen fit, for reasons known only to him, to entrust to you this particular disability that prevents you from going. And he has seen fit also with regard to your son. Now, we don't understand. We can't hope to understand why that is. But such is the case. Now, the fact that your husband is able to bring Jesus to you, for you to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is nothing short of a provision of the Lord himself. That our Lord loves you so much. Our Lord sees the longing in your heart so much. Our Lord loves your son so much. Our Lord sees the longing in your son's heart so much that he comes to you. You cannot go to him. He comes to you. What a beautiful thing. So Jesus is bringing you, in a certain way, the primary reality of the Mass. He's bringing to you himself. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it, though? Because the Mass is what? It's the representation, not a reenactment. But it is Calvary happening in a non-bloody way on that altar. It is sacrifice. And that's happening on the altar. But here's our Lord, and he's coming to you. And in a sense, he's bringing the sacrifice to you. So I hope that that gives you some comfort. Your question about watching it on television, you know, this is not a substitute for being present for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So there's numbers of individuals since COVID that just don't go back to Mass. They say, well, I just watch it. Well, it's not the same, as I mentioned earlier there. It's not the same. However, it is what is available to you. And you take advantage of that opportunity. And I got to think that in some mystical way that we don't understand, that, you know, you are being caught up in that Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, even as you are watching it. Because our God cannot be outdone in generosity. And he hears the cries of our heart. And when that cry of our heart is for more of him, he makes haste to help us. How can you grow in holiness? By appreciating the gift that's being given to you. By spending time in prayer, praying your rosary. You know, all of our prayer is meant to flow from the Mass. And you can do that too. And to flow from the one whom we receive, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So do not grow despondent. Know that our Lord loves you so much He comes to you. And that He lifts you up, even as you watch. And that it all can be continued through your private prayer. Well, thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Love you so much. Always looking forward to being with you Monday through Friday right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Don't forget, you can leave your question for us at country code 1-205-795-5773. God bless you now. Bye-bye.